We're in a new series in 1 Corinthians over the next few weeks. What happens when someone becomes a Christian? What does it mean for their day-to-day life? What does it mean for the future? Well, come along with us and see how Paul answers that question over the next few weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, on page 1149, starting at verse 25, going down to verse 40. Now, about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world, as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honourably towards the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. This evening we're thinking about the question, how should we think about changing status? Now, when I say status, I mean situation, part of your life. How should we think about changing things in our life? There are a whole load of options in our world, aren't there? And sometimes the option between this and this can be paralysing. Izzy and I used to enjoy, when it was on TV, the TV show The Good Place. I don't know if you've seen this before. In The Good Place, there is a character who's a philosopher. I'm not saying anything about philosophers, Tom. But his big problem is that he is indecisive. Should he take this job or should he take that job? Oh, I don't know. There's perks to this one. There's perks to that one. I can't decide. Should he go to this pub or that pub with his friends? The show's comedy comes to the fact he actually died because he couldn't decide which pub to go to. And he couldn't decide which way to go when the air conditioning unit fell in his head. I mean, it's a silly, silly story. But it does capture the way we can think sometimes about decisions. Yet making decisions is something we all have to do on a regular basis. And those decisions, they quite often involve changing our status. What would be the better decision to make? How do you decide? Well, let's just remember where we've been. We've had a couple of weeks off. The Corinthians, they have written a letter to Paul. And in that letter, you can see, beginning of chapter 7, verse 1, they state, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. The Corinthians seem to think that fleeing marriage is a way to become more holy, to be better Christians. And it seems that the issue behind all of this is coming to a head tonight. But Paul has explained in chapter 7 that the call of the gospel is not a call out of your status. In this case, it's not a call out of your marriage. A married Christian should stay married. Married Christians should stay married even to a non-Christian. Married Christians should be fully married. In fact, we saw right at the beginning that the core of the gospel has reached us where we are already. And the default then is that we remain in the situation that we are in. But Paul isn't done yet. And so with the framework laid down, he returns to the Corinthian situation. Now, usually this is a passage that is used to teach on singleness. Unfortunately, I think that's actually ignoring the text and talking about a topic instead. This passage is actually connected to the situation in Corinth. And if we keep it in its context, we're going to avoid making some mistakes that have been quite unhelpful in the church. What they are doing here, the Corinthians are asking Paul, what about those betrothed couples in our church? In fact, when you think about it, there probably weren't many engaged couples in the church. Christchurch Corinth is quite similar to Christchurch Hemel. How many engaged couples do we have in our church? You see, the Corinthians are probably asking, Paul, what about that married, that engaged couple over there? Don't you think they ought to call off their wedding? It's a passage you don't hear preached much at weddings, is it? But even with its really tight context, it does have a lot to say to each of us this evening in the way we make decisions, in the way that we think about changing status. So, how should we think about changing status? Well, Paul's answer is, he wants us to think wisely, not worldly. Wisely, not worldly. So the issue in Corinth is they are thinking too much about this situation. And they're thinking too much about their status in the world generally. The Corinthians generally want to be better than everyone else. But at the same time, the issue in Corinth is they're also not thinking enough about this. At least they're not thinking enough in the right way. The Corinthians are focused on this world's wisdom and they are obsessing over it. But they're not thinking enough about God's wisdom and what that means for them. So let's see how Paul works this one out, shall we? Firstly, Paul calls them to think wisely. Have a look down at verses 25 to 28. Now in this situation, Paul is specifically tackling the question of the virgins. We can see who they are, actually. Have a look down at verse 34. See, in verse 34, you have two groups. You have the unmarried and you have the virgins. So the best way to take this, it seems, is that Paul is talking about those engaged to be married. So this is a passage asking whether they should be calling the wedding off. And that explains the points Paul is making. Have a look down at verse 25 again. Just notice there, Paul says he doesn't have a command. Paul is giving advice. But he's giving advice from someone who is trustworthy, someone who is faithful, a steward of God's word. Same word we saw in chapter 4, talking about that. Or if you look down at verse 40, Paul is someone with the Spirit. It's not just a throwaway line, it kind of reads that way. Instead, Paul is saying, I'm giving you spiritual wisdom here. These words are connecting back to what Paul said about a mature believer earlier in this letter. And Paul's answer to this situation is, think wisely. Apply everything I've just said. And in this situation, that also means verse 26. Have a look at verse 26. Because of the present crisis, I think it is good for a man to remain as he is. Paul can look at the current situation in Corinth and say, you know what? It might actually be wise for you to halt those proceedings. We're not told what the situation in Corinth is, but it's likely to be specific to them. But there's something there, isn't it? This means that wise decisions do take into account the situations around us. It is a wise thing to do. Pausing the marriage preparation whilst there's a worldwide pandemic going on, for instance, might fall into the same category. Wisdom means living God's way in the situation you find yourself in. Paul's cleverly using the language from verse 1 here. Do you remember verse 1? The Corinthians said that was good Paul is repeating their language here in this verse. He's saying here, this is a good thing to do. Corinthians, you might be right. They should think about calling that wedding off. But instead of agreeing with them fully, he turns their logic on his head. The Corinthians are thinking in worldly ways. They think, don't they, that fleeing marriage makes them better Christians. No, no, that's wrong. That's wrong-headed, Paul says. But isn't Paul doing the same thing here? Why is Paul's advice any better? Why is it wise and there's worldly? Well, firstly, he explains because he's operating knowing the world's fate. Because the world is passing away. Let me read verses 29 to 31. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. We saw this logic back in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul said he was speaking wisdom, but not the wisdom of this age, God's wisdom. Because, he said, this world is passing away. There is a difference between the two types of wisdom, and it makes all the difference. Yeah, I hope you're thinking, those verses seem a bit odd at first glance. I mean, those who have wives should live as if they did not. What does that mean? Well, it can't mean flee marriage, because that would go against everything Paul said in this chapter already. It would go against what he's saying in verse 27. And elsewhere in the Bible, Paul says believers should rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. What's he talking about? Well, the answer's there in verse 31. Paul is warning about being worldly, taking something of this world and becoming engrossed with it, becoming captivated by it, becoming enslaved by it. You see, Paul's not saying, don't ever be happy, don't ever be sad, or don't ever be married. He's saying, don't let those things take up the entirety of your life. Live wisely, live knowing where this world is going. It might be that the present situation in Corinth he talks about is a wake-up call to the fate of this world. As Jesus says in the Gospels, there'll be wars and rumours of wars. What's the point of that? Well, to remind you that the end is still coming. Remember what Paul has been saying. To worry about status in this world, such as circumcision or slavery, is a sign of worldliness. Things in this world can enslave you. They can tie you down to this world. To have a wrong view of relationships, have a wrong view of work, have a wrong view of our family, making decisions based on what the world would say, that's worldly wisdom. Instead, Paul wants us and the Corinthians to live wisely, to live knowing that this world is temporary, to live with the things of this world growing strangely dim, because this world is passing away. Now, I've said this passage isn't focused on singleness. It does speak into it, doesn't it? I know there are people in our church who would love to be married. I know there are people in our church who would love to have the choice. But the reminder here is helpful, isn't it? The form of this world is passing away. So business, property, weddings, they're not going to last forever. They're just a passing shadow. It's a helpful reminder to us all, isn't it? To get things in perspective. So rather than living for this world, we're instead called to live for God. We are called to holiness. To live lives of devotion to God. To live lives of holiness. That's where Paul goes. Let me read verses 32 to 35. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you might live in a right way, in undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul's big aim there is in verse 32. Paul wants the Corinthians to be free from concern. Again, it might seem from first glance he is saying, don't get married. But if you read really carefully here, every single person here has concerns. Both the married and the unmarried have concerns. And Paul is saying here, isn't he, that he's not restricting. Notice that. He is not restricting your options. But he is saying there are concerns that you can avoid. And in this case, getting married is a concern you could avoid. Getting married means taking on more concerns. And those concerns can make devotion to the Lord make holiness harder. Verse 35. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way, in undivided devotion to the Lord. I think it's helpful here to point out a few things it doesn't say. Paul doesn't say that those who are unmarried or those who are married do better ministry than the other. Paul doesn't say that those who are married or those who are unmarried are better Christians. I mean, that's the Corinthians' point here, isn't it? He definitely doesn't say that those who are unmarried should be using more of their time to serve. And he certainly isn't saying that those who are unmarried need to be holier than those married. Each of those are misuses of this passage and sad twistings of them. But unfortunately not uncommon. See, everyone should care about holiness. This letter's been saying that all along. Paul's advice here to each and every one of us this evening is, don't make your life harder than it has to be. Don't make your life harder than it has to be. When you really understand that, it's remarkably freeing. You don't have to take on more stuff. You don't have to justify anything about yourself. You don't have to justify your status. Why? Well, because God has called you the way you are. Your status, the only status that matters, is that you are in Christ. So you can remain as you are. I've heard people justify their relationship status, whether they're single or married. And I think that's because we have fallen into the trap of the Corinthians. We have fallen into the trap of thinking that one of them is better than the other. I've heard both of these things. You're single? Well, that's a shame. Or you're married? Oh, that's a waste. It's not true, is it? Our goal is to live in a right way, to live holy lives, to live lives of undivided devotion to God. And we have the freedom to choose what concerns we add to our lives. We're to think wisely and live in light of God's call. To live in light of holiness. So here's where it lands for each and every one of us this evening. Apply that to your status. See, Paul's logic here is like that winter hat I'm hopefully going to put away soon. One size fits all. You see, in verses 36 to 40, Paul applies that reasoning, that wisdom, to the situation in Corinth. In fact, he applies it to two, if you notice. Firstly, he applies it to the case of the betrothed. What does Paul say? Verse 36. If anyone is worried, he might not be acting honourably to the virgin he is engaged to. And if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He's not sinning. They should get married. Didn't hear the emphasis there. He should do as he wants. I think the little footnote here in the NIV is a bit more accurate in the text. But either way, if the betrothed man wants to get married, then get married. Or verse 37 develops that further. If the man knows his own mind, if he's not under compulsion, that word is the same word there as verse 26, distress. If he's not under distress, if he has control of his will, and if he's made his mind up, great. Do what makes sense. In this case, don't get married. Can you see the point Paul is making? There is a wisdom call to make, and both of the options are good. It might be here that taking all that's going on, not getting married, is better. That's what he says at the end of verse 38. But both options are good if they are done wisely. Then he applies the logic, verse 39. If a husband dies, then a widow is free to marry, if she wishes. You see that? Or verse 40, to not marry, if she wishes. Both are good, if they're done wisely. You see that at the end of verse 39. In fact, there is one thing Paul does say, isn't it? He says, do it God's way. What does he say here? That means the new husband must belong to the Lord. You see, you can do anything that you like. You have freedom in the Christian life as long as it is in the Lord. Just notice that. That is the key. If you're a believer, you make decisions according to God's way. So if you're going to get married, explicitly here, if you're going to get married and you're a Christian, you marry a Christian. If you're going to get a job, we'll say here, we get a job as a Christian. Your identity in Christ impacts all your decisions. Wisdom, that is living God's way in God's world, knowing where this world is going, is key. Making wise decisions as mature, spirit-filled believers, as those who are in the fellowship of the Son. The issue for these Corinthians is they're thinking the wrong way. They are immature. They're thinking in worldly ways. They're thinking too much about what the world around them says. And they're not thinking enough about God's view of things. They are hung up on the present circumstances than on the eternal reality. We could do just the same, can't we? We can get stuck on things in this life, things in this world, that would actually bring us more difficulty, more concerns. Jobs. Children. Money. The list goes on and on. Things in this world that can engross, as verse 31 says. I'm not saying they will, but things that can. But we need to know there is remarkable freedom in the Christian life. Why? Because none of those things makes you more called than you were before. You were called in the past, and so changing your status now doesn't affect that. You have the freedom to live in that status. Paul is calling us to change our thinking. Be great on our tables in a moment to help each other with that. Paul is calling us to reorient our thinking from what this world says matters to what God says matters. Yes, the job might pay well, but if it's distracting you from following God wholeheartedly, well, maybe you need to rethink it. Yes, the children are great, and getting them into that sports team would look good on their school records, but if it affects their walking with God, well, wisdom means you should reconsider. Or for the Corinthians, going ahead with the wedding. What does Paul say? Well, getting married is good. Not getting married is good. So what matters is undivided devotion to the Lord. So you are free to make the decision yourself. How should we think about changing status then? Well, let's not be paralyzed by indecision. Instead, we need to think wisely. That is God's way, not worldly. And that is immensely freeing for each of us, as we can all live for Christ in the status we are in now. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Any questions can come to podcast email podcast@david-couch.com. And I'll see you next week.